Welcome back, folks, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Doug and Joe Hagman here on duty in our fortified bunker way above ground, FEMA Region 3, whereas we're talking to...
Way above ground? Just,
did I say way above ground?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's true, I guess. There, I blew it. All right. Anyway, Dave Hodges from The Common Sense Show is our special guest. We're taking your phone calls. And, of course, right now we have a full bank of callers, but I want to ask Dave Hodges about this, something that we spoke about last night that I didn't quite mention. Well, you know what? Before we get into any topical matter about the state of what's going on, Dave, I noticed on your website your health reporter, Katie Whalen, is in need of our help. You want to address this a little bit?
Well, Katie's been my health reporter on the Common Sense Show, and she has her own segment. It's a wildly popular segment. She does such a great job. She informs, she educates, and she helps people, lead people to the right products. Well, Katie has breast cancer, and it's a very virulent form. It's the kind that is spread out and goes its own direction simultaneously. And conventional therapy, chemo, wouldn't even touch this. So she's opted to go the more natural route. She's got top-line physicians. But to do all this, because it's not covered by insurance, because they want you to either cut it out, poison it out, or burn it out, and why the pharmaceuticals make lots of money, she's trying to go a different route, which is the natural route, which is pre-synthetic. And to do that, she needs about $25,000. I haven't looked at her total since Saturday, I think. And I think she was around $3,800 then. So we're asking people to go up to my website at thecommonsenseshow.com, scroll down a few stories. You'll see Katie's picture with reference to her, and there's a GoFundMe site. And there's two things I hope to achieve here. One is we really do need to raise this money so Katie has a fighting chance. And no gift is too small. $1, $2, $5, $10, $100, $500. We've had gifts on everything in that range. And God blesses all gifts. The other thing that happens is when we come together in a spirit of giving, you know, under the authority of Christ, we marshal the power that's been given to us by the Almighty, and we can affect healing in Katie. And this includes putting her on prayer chains and our collective action towards, you know, getting the money that she needs for the care. These all come together. They coalesce in a form that the Spirit actually starts to fight the battle, not man. And this is what I'm hoping we can accomplish with Katie. I've been through this with my own son. When my boy was born, he was born 2 months premature. He weighed just over 2 pounds. My wife was in the hospital 2 months before and 2 months after with very serious complications. And as I found out through the months, they were on prayer chains of people I didn't even know, churches I wasn't even a part of. And I've seen the collective power when we all come together under the authority of Christ and call upon His healing power. Today, you look at my 15-year-old son, he's healthy, he's bright. You'd never know he was preemie. My wife is healthy. So I've experienced this on a personal basis, and I hope we can marshal these forces to help Katie, and I appreciate so much you letting me talk about this.
No, you know, she's part of the family. David, she's part of the family. You know, and I could not believe when she told me. I did not know the day that she was diagnosed, and we talked subsequent to that, and she really, it just took my breath away when I was talking to her, and she said, I got something to tell you, and she told me, and it was, you know, So let's get behind her. We're all family here. That's Katie Whalen. Let's get behind her. If you're watching on YouTube, the GoFundMe page is up there. We need to get that up so she can pay for her natural remedies. It's a process. It's not a one-shot deal. So, and I do know that I know what she's paying. I know that this is all above board, and she really needs our help. So let's get behind her. That's Katie Whalen. Go to thecommonsenseshow.com. Follow the links right to her GoFundMe page. Dave, thank you so much for being a good friend to her. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Well, she's part of our family, and
yep.
And there's just no choice I have in the matter. It's just what I have to do. And I need her, too. I mean, professionally, I need her. Personally, I need her. And the world doesn't need so much, I think, Katie's message is they need people like Katie. And those of you who have gotten to know her know exactly what I'm talking about. And I told her on my show, it's hard not to talk about this without getting emotional, but I watched the movie Apollo 13 for a second time about a week ago. And before we went on the air to talk about her condition, when she announced it, I remember when two NASA officials were arguing, this is going to be a horrible disaster. These astronauts are going to die. And Shorty Powers looked at Gene Cernan and said, quite the contrary, Gene, this is going to be our finest hour. And I think what I hope comes from Katie's situation is that she marshals these forces, she regains and reclaims her health, and it will be Katie's finest hour. And she'll serve as a shining example to so many who will fight this battle at some point in their life, and she'll provide hope that they can go forward and be successful.
Amen.
Amen to that. As statistics show that 1 in 8 women in the U.S. develop breast cancer over their lifetime. That's a staggering number. And as you said, Katie is an essential part of your show, Dave, and she is a friend of this show, and we do need her. So we ask and urge everybody who can to please help Katie out in her battle with cancer. And the GoFundMe page can be found off of HagmanandHagman.com. HagmanReport.com, as well as the Common Sense Show. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Dave, if you're ready to take calls, we can take calls now.
You bet.
All right, let's go to Joe in California. You're our first caller of the night, Joe. Welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report, live with Dave Hodges.
Thank you, guys. Great show. I mean, as usual. I'll make this very quick. Everybody's been talking about the Zika virus. Has anybody looked up what Zika means?
I don't know.
Okay. I'm kind of weird like that. The Hagmans know me. I look at numbers and all this kind of stuff. On Wikipedia, mainstream page, if you go to Zika virus and then go under, I think it's history, just dig around, you'll find it. It means overgrown in the Luganda language. So Zika forest is a tropical forest, and it means overgrown. Could they possibly be talking about our population by using that word?
That's a very interesting point.
Yeah, that gave me the chills. So I wanted to let you guys know over the airwaves so others could think about that, discern that one. I think it's a little obvious that they're talking about our population here, or could be if this is one of the diseases that they go forward with. So. One of the many, right?
And, caller, I don't know if you heard at the beginning of the show, there was an article that talked about how the strictest abortion laws in the world, basically down in Latin America, from El Salvador to Brazil, are going to have to be reexamined because of the child defect, the problems that childbirth has with the virus.
Microencephalopathy.
What they want to do is turn around the bans on, because in El Salvador, for instance, they have a ban on all abortions. But what they're doing now is pleading to the ministers of health in these different nations to lift the restrictions of abortions, specifically because of the birth defects caused by this Zika virus.
How convenient.
Well, not only that, that seems to fall under the satanic way, doesn't it? It's not that they're not doing it to us. They're fearing us, whether they sign a war into law or whatever, and then we go fight the war, we pay the taxes to pay for the killing, blah, blah, blah. So that would be our own decision, and thus, in the satanic church, their karmic debt is relieved. And it, again, falls on the dummies walking around doing whatever they say. See, it's once you know their operating rules with the satanic stuff, it's simple to see. So I just wanted you guys to be aware of that. There's a ton of callers. I don't want to take up any more time. You guys are awesome, and thank you so much for everything.
Thank you.
Thanks, bud. Joe, thank you. You have a good night.
Yeah, Dave, this is... I mean, there's so much coming at us between the viruses, Zika virus, the economy, the geopolitical stress of war. We don't. I mean, no shortage of thoughts.
Let me say something. What my gut tells me here. Okay, and my gut feeling is not even a hypothesis, so we can't take this as fact. But my gut tells me that this virus, some people think it's overblown, it's a diversion, it's a scare tactic. It might be. But part of me wonders, is this going to be something that renders women sterile? Will this be the way that they achieve, in part, 90% reduction in population?
It very well could be. You know, we look and see that the mortality rate for this disease is not all that high, but it seems to affect mostly the babies who are unborn with mothers who contract this virus. And, you know, there's a lot of questions surrounding it. The origins, the Rockefeller Foundation in 1947 was the one that found this and cataloged it.
Yeah, go figure.
There's a lot of red flags here that need to be further looked into. And then for the virus to be discovered in 1947 and basically go dormant until, 2013, and nobody really knew what it was until last year, and now it's, an all-out pandemic. There's reason for concern, and when we see what the president did with the executive order for respiratory illnesses with the Ebola crisis, what can he do with the Zika virus? Mm-hmm. It's scary to think about.
Exactly. Now, Dave, if I can interject one thing here from the email feedback, we have a listener in Sydney, Australia, listening live. Louise, God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening every night. We just love you, appreciate you. Now, Louise writes this, just listening from Sydney, Australia. Dave, you just blew my mind, blew me away. First I heard about what's taking place in Australia. For those just joining us, do you want to revisit that? Let people know what you heard about.
I do. And I've been sent a couple of things on it, and I've taken only a cursory glance at both. And I just may be motivated to do this after the show. I'll go make a compilation of what I've sent, and I'll try to post it tonight.
Okay. All right.
And but effectively, what they're saying is it's the activities are mostly defensive, and that it's domestic terrorism. But I read that also they were prepping for war games as well.
Okay.
And I have a feeling it's their version of Jade Helm 16 or UX. I mean, that's just a gut feeling. I don't know, but I would guess.
And what would you have to say about Brazil? 220,000 troops going door to door to fight mosquitoes in Brazil in under the banner of the Zika virus.
Well, certainly opens the door to let mosquitoes take away people's privacy rights and so forth. That's my thought on that. I mean, okay, so the troop shows up at the door and the mosquitoes in the house. What are they going to do, pull out the M16 and shoot it? I mean, this doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah,
what are soldiers going to do against this virus that's spread by mosquitoes?
I love the smell of napalm in the morning. I mean, what are you going to do?
And they quoted excuses like making sure that the residents had enough pesticides and bug spray and whatnot, but that can be done by any kind of relief worker. It does not have to be the actual standing army of the country.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, it makes you wonder if they're cataloging things as they open their doors.
There you go.
That's a good point.
It's so many things that could be done. Hong Kong listener writes that Hong Kong has descended into civil riots. Have you heard about this?
First time. I've not heard it.
Yeah, as of today, Hong Kong has had violent riots. Can you guys address what's going on here? Major civil unrest not being reported, Hong Kong. And, okay, so we don't know. And to this emailer, certainly send us additional information. Of course, it's on YouTube. Before we pull anything up, we're going to vet it out and view it. So, All right.
Up next is Tom from West Virginia. Thanks for holding. Welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report.
No, thank you. And I love listening to both of your shows, and God bless you and your families. And Dave, I was going to mention too, Katie is in our thoughts and prayers. And I encourage people to donate because it's very easy. Just go on the website, donate, and it's done. It's and our thoughts and prayers are with her. And my question is kind of twofold, and one is, how do you think, excuse me, our lives will change when this starts happening? And are there any other signs? One example would be, is there a FEMA camp website that someone could watch to see if activity starts to increase around these camps, if they're starting to open, if they're starting to pull supplies in? That might be a indication of other changes coming. And again, God bless you, and thank you. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay,
thank you, Tom.
Well, that's a lot to answer. Are there signs we can tell? Yeah, I kind of alluded to this a little bit, and I probably should develop the idea more fully. They manage by objective. I think we're going to see the whole thing precipitated by an economic collapse, false flag attacks upon Muslims, and any other false flag attack, maybe even upon the power grid. I mean, all possibilities are on the table. But you're going to see precipitating incidences come first. So I hope I'm answering this question, guys. If I go far afield, let me know. But I do believe we'll see that. Then we'll see a heavy-handed, let's restore order. But restoring order will be the chamber of horrors. And the reason I can say this with confidence, because if we weren't going to be oppressing the American people, particularly people who are not popular, you know, with the establishment, we like the Constitution, we like the 10 amendments that go with it and so forth. If they weren't planning to do nefarious things, why would they have to practice for civil war ostensibly against American military units that have gone rogue? Why is Obama trying to take down the submarine fleet and render them not as efficient or as much of a threat to a domestic takeover? So when I look at these events that are taking place, I don't know why they would invent a UX exercise if they weren't planning to fight a civil war someday. That doesn't make any sense to me. It's like a football coach who takes the field and you're practicing for the other team's off-tackle play on third down. Why would you practice that if you didn't know for sure they were going to run it at various times in the game? The same thing, same logic can be applied to UX 16. So those are some of the things that I would look at early. In terms of what you can do, I do have a place or two places I feel like I can run to. And I've actually written articles on this and addressed this. You can't take your cell phone. You've got to try to have something covering your face without being too obvious that will basically negate the cameras that'll be tracking you. Because virtually every major intersection has them now. They're all over the place. And you probably should travel in an alternative vehicle other than your own, because that can be tracked. And then you go to your place of safety. And when you're there, you have to be careful when people have their cell phones out not to speak. Well, this is something I learned from some of my ex-NSA friends, or I should say ex-NSA friends, but they're still friends, is that if you're in a room with someone with a cell phone, your passive conversations are recorded just as much as if you were online talking to people. And as such, they do have voice recognition software, and they can pin your location down to 3 feet. So if they want you, they can come and find you. You totally almost have to be off the grid, and you have to be in a place that, you know, these places that if you pay your $10 or $20, you can search and find out about people. You have to go to someone other than friends and relatives. And then you have to have the supplies, and, you know, I could go on and on. And you know what? And I may post this article again so people can read this, but you really need to have a bug out plan is what I'm saying. When I see, and gosh, I hope I have time, but when I see these precipitating incidences take place, we're going into hiding, and the Hodges family will not be associated with the Common Sense Show any longer when these take place, because the game's over at that point. Now it's a matter of survival.
Well, that's sobering. To those who understood and listened, this is sobering. I mean, now it's kind of crunch time. I mean, we're entering into a time period where the things that we had talked about before now are coming into fruition. We're seeing the signs, the prevailing edge of the storm that's just coming over this country. And You're exactly right. We have one more. We got a quick emailer wanting to know, Dave, before we go back to the phones here, real quick here. Could you explain, and this is from Donna from Missouri, could you explain your knowledge about the connection between Jade Helm and artificial intelligence, you know, Jade, the Joint Assistance for Deployment and Execution, and robotics warfare? I mean, compliments of DARPA.
I read and came across and had discussions with people supposedly in the know, and there is a strong connection between artificial intelligence and the Jade Helm activities, particularly when it comes to extraction of civilian dissidents that they want to remove from the scene. And they will use artificial intelligence to track you. They have things like, let me just talk about one of them. I won't go into much detail, but I think this one is fascinating. It's called a MAV, or a micro aerial vehicle. And I've actually had the YouTube video for this from the company that produced it. I mean, this stuff's not even classified any longer. It's so mainstream. But you have this drone, and it releases 100,000 little drones. And they take the form of mechanical, electrical, insects, bugs, whatever, and they birds, and they look natural in the environment, and they can act in concert with each other. So you basically have a 100,000-man army, but it's electronic. And that's just part of your artificial intelligence. And they can make program decisions in the field. A lot's been made of that. In Afghanistan, they experimented with point robots, you know, robots that would take the point on a mission. And they actually taught the robot how to reprogram its own mission so it didn't have to just follow orders. Well, these MAVs can do the same thing. So these 100,000 creatures that are electronic, that are imitating insects and birds and so forth, can act in concert. They're weaponized. They can release gas. They have facial recognition. Once they release those, it's going to be pretty hard to get away, and it's going to be pretty hard to fight.
Maneuvering capabilities alone rival anything out there right now, from what I've read.
Well, you'd be praying for an EMP if they release those upon us. This is not, we can't fight against this stuff. Your traditional guerrilla warfare, I have a video of this. You've got an armored vehicle traveling down the road, and they show someone shooting an RPG at it, and they have a defensive system now that can repel the RPG. The armored vehicle does kind of a little hitch, like a little hiccup, but it just keeps right on going. It's kind of like the old Timex watch, you know, it takes a licking and keeps on ticking. And that's what happens here with this armored vehicle. Now, that's a little bit off the artificial intelligence, but the anti-insurgency technology that I'm sure they're going to use in UX, I've written about a lot of this stuff. And they can detect snipers just by the glint of a rifle that they detect from satellite, and it goes automatically to a robotic controlled weapon system, and they take out the sniper before the sniper can even fire. It's called Exacto. The system is called Exacto. And they have robots now that can run faster than a bear. They're stronger than a bear. They have facial recognition. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger and the Terminator. The stuff is just phenomenal, what we have. And this is what's declassified. You know, God knows what they have that's classified and how advanced that would be.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. And I want to interject something before we get to the other phone. I want to direct this to Nancy. Nancy, we had talked about the Zika virus, and look, we never claimed, and just understand this, folks, if you misheard us, we were saying, no, it's obvious that this virus is not the cause of birth defects, microencephalopathy, however that you pronounce that. Of course not. We are not perpetuating that myth that it causes the birth defects. Can I be any clearer? We have been saying there are other causes. Thank you for pointing out the vaccine connection to it. But for those people who are questioning this, look, we have been saying all week, 2 weeks ago, we were saying that it's a lie, and it's a convenient one at that.
Related to chemtrailing, to vaccines, to very high levels of pesticides in areas that are said to be highly affected by the Zika virus, not to mention the genetically modified mosquitoes with who knows what inside of them. that have now spread their mutations to regular mosquitoes. Notice that the Zika virus cannot be transferred from person to person, but from mosquito to person only, which makes it even more alarming, to me at least, especially the way we see it spreading across the United States of America. In the wintertime, where the north half of this nation is under minus 32 degree, temperatures, I haven't seen a mosquito in 4 to 5 months in our area. I can't imagine seeing them in Long Island either. So how is this, continuing to spread in the U.S.? I don't know.
It's toilet seats and tractor seats.
All right, let's go back to the phones. We're going to go to Minnesota, where Todd has been patiently waiting. Welcome to the Hagman & Hagman Report, Todd. You're on with Dave Hodges.
How's it going tonight, guys?
Going good.
Good, good. It's, I love you all. By the way, I love the father-son thing for sure. I miss my dad. He's down in Naples. Anyways, Dave, you rock. If it wasn't for you guys, I'm telling you, I don't know, we'd be lost. So, anyways, I got a bunch of words, man. I'm a kind of a truther guy, whatever you want to call it. But Lisa Haven, she's speaking some real important things about the UN soldiers being mostly Muslims, right? Okay, which is 40,000 strong. Also, another thing I want to throw at you too is they had a notification for all the food shelf for the survival food people. You know, the ones that give you the food that you want to survive on, store up, and all that kind of stuff. She says there's something about the federal government making a mandatory inventory and customer type thing, meaning they're trying to control our survival food.
Yeah, Dave, I think you reported or at least talked on this on your show. This is probably several months ago now about the tapping into the reserves, or at least inquiring about the, what certain companies have in terms of survival food. Is that right?
I know the owners of the companies that were contacted by DHS and FEMA out of respect for them so they don't draw harassment in the ire of the federal government. I'm not going to mention who they are, but you could figure it out if you worked at it. But yeah, FEMA came in and they wanted to buy up a good portion of the storable food industry. And to the credit of people who sell this stuff, they said no. They said there's limits.
All right. Wow. All right, anything else?
To me, it's horrible. That is horrible. So, whatever, that's another thing. And then what do you guys think about this plank thing with the Trump? Kind of landing in Nashville. I'm familiar with political people crashing in airplanes. So, what are you guys thinking on that issue? Is that a warning? I'm thinking it's a warning.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now, I got to say this. I'm undecided. Is Donald Trump really Ross Perot? Because he had a relationship with the Clintons that was really extensive before he ran, and I suspect, on one hand, that he could be disrupting the Republican Party. So if Hillary stays out of prison, which I think she will, she'll be the next president. On the other hand, if Trump is just trying to create his legacy, and this is a possibility too, he's running on ego, and he wants to save America, so now he's aligning with the middle class, he's going to end up like Bobby Kennedy. In fact, I wrote an article said Donald Trump could be assassinated by a man with a diary. Sirhan kills Bobby Kennedy, allegedly had a diary saying what he was going to do. Lee Harvey Oswald, John Kennedy, same MO. And then, of course, Martin Luther King and, gosh, you can tell I'm tired, is a killer. James Earl Ray. Listen, you could go down the line. If Trump is for real, Trump's life is in extreme peril if he captures some of these primates.
Correct, because it would be in the way of the North American Union, okay, which is the New World Order. And whatever, that's kind of what the studies I got, which would be his wall is in the way of the North American Union. They want to combine Canada, Mexico, and America. That's kind of what my studies are. I'm not sure.
I'm
if that's
not a
true. It's just
fan.
What I read. I'm not the guy. I'm just reading.
So
I'm not a big fan of his 20-foot wall because if he builds a 20-foot wall, if he becomes president, I'm going to make a lot of money and build a 21-foot ladder. That's not the answer to the problem here. The answer to the problem is to put the burden on the Mexican government and have real penalties for if they don't keep their people corralled. Right now, the Mexicans are just opening up the gates along with our corporations and say, "Olly, olly, oxen free." And no country, and I'm not disparaging these people. They're God's children, too. So I don't disparage them individually. But no country can absorb the kind of immigration we've had without serious economic harm to the country in terms of water, schools, other infrastructure like highways. We can't absorb this. Frosty Woolridge was right on the money 15 years ago when he railed against this.
Amen. That's
well, guess
right.
What, sirs? I made a big, huge Donald Trump sign in my yard, and it's been torn down three times now. I have two police reports on this, and the words say Trump or done. Okay, and the reason I say that is because I'm the 2% that knows what I'm talking about. Meaning, I watch all of you guys. I yell at the TV. Okay, does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yes. So, I'm reinforcing this sign tomorrow, and I'm putting barbed wire around it, 6 feet tall.
Maybe get some land motion sensors there too, just in case.
Yeah, I'd put a sign out there and say that this Trump sign is now
bootstrapped. I'm going to have cameras and sensors that actually send off alarm inside the house.
Either that, or just get it on tape, or get it on video. I think you'd be even more entertained and surprised.
Correct.
All right, we're gonna move along. And you know what, caller? Thank you for your call. And Dave,
talk
about
you guys. I love you all. Thank you so much.
God bless you.
Have a good night.
All right,
talking about Dave, talking about people who are leaders who were assassinated. You mentioned Trump, and of course RFK, JFK, etc. Let's not forget Larry McDonald, House Representative Larry McDonald on KAL flight or flight KAL 007 back in September.
How ironic is that? 007.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That was Congressman McDonald back on September 1st, 1983. A lot of oddities about that, and obviously. But anyway, very
was
interesting.
Was he the one that...
He was Jonestown, and then... Or not Jonestown, but exposed the... I'm sorry. So many things happened around that time.
Was he... No, okay, McFadden.
John Birch and... McFadden was back after the Federal Reserve.
Okay. Yeah,
and he was poisoned, but McDonald was on the Korean Airlines, on a Korean airliner. Anyway, all right, didn't mean to get off track. Go ahead.
We have, we're going to go to Keith in Indiana, followed by Mateo in Kentucky. Keith, thank you for holding. You're live with Dave Hodges on the Hagman & Hagman Report.
Thank you, Doug, and I just wanted to say hello to you and our Joe and you and Doug and Dave, and of course I'll remember Katie too after the program is over, definitely. So I just wanted to tell you about that. But my comment is about, and I sent you an email, and this is kind of backtracking a little bit, but I want to read a quote by George W. Bush, and I don't think really everybody understands exactly, you know, what's going on. So let me just go ahead and read this quote real quick. It says, we will direct every resource at our disposal, tool of intelligence, every instrument of law enforcement, every financial influence, and every necessary weapon of war to the disruption and eventual defeat of terrorism. Either you are with us or you are with the terrorist. Americans should expect a battle unlike any they have ever seen. Not one battle, but a lengthy campaign. Some visible, others secret. We will drive terrorists from place to place until there is no refuge or rest. Okay, now most of us probably recognize that that was a quote made by George W. Bush shortly after 9/11. But let's read that again and change one word. And the word that I want to take out or change is I want to change the word terrorist. Okay, so let me read it one more time. It says, we will direct every resource at our disposal, every tool of intelligence, every instrument of law enforcement, every financial influence and every necessary weapon of war to the disruption and eventual defeat of Christianity. Either you are with us or you are with the Christians. Americans should expect a battle unlike any they have ever seen. Not one battle, but a lengthy campaign. Some visible, others secret. We will drive Christians from place to place until there is no refuge or rest. And that's really the hidden agenda behind everything.
Wow.
I just quoted George Bush today about either you're with us or you're with the terrorists. And it's a real pejorative that set the tone for the MEAC report and all these other things that followed, were basically, if you follow the Constitution, Ron Paul's teachings and so forth, you're a terrorist. If you follow the New World Order and autocratic government and systematic depopulation and building for World War III, the obliteration of civil liberties, then you're okay. We'll let you live a while longer.
Yeah, and you look at now they're starting to call people who are pro-life anti-abortion extremists, people who are against homosexual marriage, you know, Christian fundamental extremists, and they have taken it to a point where Christianity is now synonymous with extremism just through propaganda and, predictive programming and word placement. They have almost made it seem like there have been as many Christian terrorist attacks as there have been Muslim terrorist attacks in this country, although I cannot name or think of one instance of a Christian committing a terrorist attack. They have confounded the language and the truth to make it seem as though there are actually Christian extremists out there and that they are just as much part of the problem as the Islamic extremists.
Well, let's look at who's behind this, okay? And I wrote an article entitled this, and I wear this badge proudly. The article I wrote said, "I am the infidel that Allah warned you about." And in the article, I made the point, I don't care what religion you practice. You know, be a good Muslim, practice your tenets of Islam. But the moment that your religion, through Sharia law, crosses over into my constitutionally protected nose, then I'm calling you out. And I'm going to defend my religion and my family and so forth. And I will be that infidel that Allah warned you about. And what I mean by that is I'm not shrinking from my Christian beliefs. And I'll say this proudly right here, right now. I respect all religions and recognize the right for people to practice their religion. I do not recognize their right to abuse other people who are not of their religion. And I will also say this proudly. This nation was proudly and justifiably founded on the teachings of Jesus Christ in the Bible, and every first-year law school student is taught that our legal code comes from the Ten Commandments originally. That's what I believe. And if that makes me an infidel, I wear that badge proudly.
Well said. Thank you for that. In case you're wondering... Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, Doug, if I could just make just one more. See, the thing about it is that, see, this came on the heels of 9/11, and that was the programming. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have an issue with the radical, religion of Islam, okay? But this was a massive brainwashing government psyop, 9/11 was, and what they did... You know, with what went on, them taking down those two towers, well, three towers actually, and of course several other buildings and a number of other aircraft supposedly, that they essentially convinced the world, or especially the Americans, that Islam was our number one enemy. But the thing that we have to realize is that these people that were responsible for 9/11, okay, they are Luciferian, okay? They are Satanist. They are not on... In other words, the point is, if they are satanic and they are worshiping Lucifer or Satan, then they are much more in alignment with Islam than they are Christianity. As a matter of fact, if that's true, Christianity is their greatest foe and Islam is their ally.
Yes.
That's the point that we need to realize.
Great point.
Well, I would say this rhetorically. Why do you think Brennan, an avowed Muslim, is the head of the CIA? That's not a coincidence.
That's right.
Not at all.
Okay, so. Thank you all. That's really all I had to share tonight, so I appreciate you all taking my call.
Thanks for the call, Keith. God bless you. You have a good night. We're going to move on next to Mateo in Kentucky. Mateo, thanks for calling the Hagman & Hagman Report.
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good. Good. How are you?
I'm all right. I got a lot on my mind, but I'm just going to keep it brief. I'm a 20-year-old college student in a university in Kentucky. And like I said, I have a lot on my mind, but I'm just going to keep it very short. I was born in Columbia. I was raised by my aunt, who is very Catholic. And, of course, I don't support the Pope, thanks to you guys and the information you guys have shared. And Alex Jones, X22 Report, AMTV, or not AMTV, yes, AMTV. But I'm just astonished. And to be honest with you, it's a lot worse than what you guys think in a college situation and in a college environment. It is beyond belief. People have not a clue as to what's going on. Not a single shred of evidence can be found of someone that's informed about world events. And I'm in the guard. I take about 4 or 5 days out of the month to train, and I have a regular job, pay my bills, do everything I have to do. And I find myself thinking about what happens when, you know, like on the news, I do keep the pulse on Steve Quayle. Steve Quayle, that man is very, very, very amazing. That guy really, really has God's blessing. And he really, his words actually brought me to the steps of getting back to reading my Bible a lot more. But, like I said, going back to, talking about the war, 1,000 or so odd Turkish troops are now on the border getting ready to cross over into Syria. And then now, just recently, I think yesterday or today, I read somewhere that Saudi Arabia is now sending their mercenaries over. I'm not sure. I can't remember the number, but it's quite a bit. So that could trigger the start, and I could be deployed. And my parents, you know, God bless them, but they have no idea as well. But I just have a lot on my mind, but that's what I have to share. That's what's on my mind every day. I lose sleep over it sometimes, sure, knowing that. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm just going to kick it. Go ahead.
Iran has also sent troops over to the Syrian border.
Yeah, that's what
you're
just saying.
And how many saw this?
Crazy.
Bashar al-Assad's mother died, and at the funeral, there was an assassination attempt taken out on Assad that failed, and they are still trying to take him out.
Yeah.
Let me jump in here and ask, because Dave Hodges was talking about the sub fleets and the overtaking of the commanders, the reassignment of many people within our military. Dave, you were reporting on this long before anyone else did. The geopolitical things going on, Iran, Turkey, what's going on over there, especially with Iran backing off?
Turkey is Austria-Hungary, and Syria is Serbia. And if people understand that World War I reference that led Germany to strike out first in the Schlieffen Plan and attack France through neutral Belgium before they got caught in a two-front war, then you understand where I'm coming from with that comment. This is the powder keg for World War III, but I do believe that we're going to have domestic conflict first. I'd be shocked if international conflict broke out first, because Obama has to get the troops in our military as well as most of the civilian population under control before he can count on support for World War III. So I think domestically things have to happen first would be my guess.
How would you say, Dave, that they can go about getting support for World War III? I mean, we saw the response to 9/11, the Patriot Act, the rallying of the country, around the flag again, and the government and the military. But people have become wise to their games and their agenda a lot more so than there were, you know, 15 years ago. What would it take for them to be able? Yeah,
we don't. Yeah.
And
we,
I'd say there's millions out there who are awake.
I don't know if we have enough awake people to really negate the false flags that are coming our way. I don't know that we do. We may have, but I'd be surprised. What we're gonna see, in my humble opinion, is you say, how can Obama marshal the country for World War III? That was how I interpreted your statement into a question. And what I would say is he has to, number one, get total control over his military, which I don't believe he has. You know, firing nearly 300 command officers hasn't done the trick. And so he has to do something there. UX-16, I believe, is a move in that direction. And he has to get the dissidents out, the obvious dissidents in society. I mean, we're swaying lots of people on the shows that we do. And people like us who have shows are swaying lots of people. They need to remove us. Our voices have to go silent. And slowly but surely, they'll bend this country to Obama's will. The dissidents will be out of the way. There'll be no Alex Jones, Doug Hagman, Steve Quayle, John B. Wells to listen to. And then they can begin to propagandize to their heart's content. They already control the mainstream media, and they need to eliminate the alternative media. And I look for domestic subjugation first, and then there'll be precipitating incidences where we'll proudly march off to war. You know, the Lusitania will get sunk. You know, Mexicans will cross the Nueces River and attack somewhere. All the excuses we've used before, someone will blow up the Maine. And all these excuses that we used before, which are really a load of false flag attacks, will be invoked to start the Third World War. And that'll be the war of planetary unification and depopulation at the same time.
Yeah, and you're very accurate there. And one of the things we see with these war games is the Iranians firing, you know, missiles towards U.S. warships and planes throughout the last few years, you know, intermittent distances. And then you have North Korea launching those spy sat. I mean, all it takes is one ship in the wrong place to be, you know, with Operation Northwoods in mind, painting a plane with a certain nation's colors and attacking another nation and or city of that nation. And under that, I mean, they have the potential to do anything if once they get away with that. We have less than 5 minutes left. We're going to go to Ron in Connecticut. Might be our last call for the night. We'll see. Ron, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report with Dave Hodges.
Hey guys, Dave and Joe and Doug. What a pleasure. You know, I've been listening to you guys for about a year, and this is the first time I had a chance to call in, but thanks for bringing out so much needed information I call you guys broadcast editors, because you get all the good guys on, so I don't have to hunt around for all of them, like Dave Hodges and Steve Quayle and Pastor... what's his name? The Pastor Langford, I think it is. Anyway, thank you very much for doing that. Now, the reason I'm calling in, I agree with you guys totally, but the number one thing is what I do every day, sometimes twice a day, is put everything I have in God's hands, everything I will ever be, and that's what I have to go on. The way things are going now in the world, as you guys so bring out so well, is that things, you know, this United States is at a point where it's over the tipping point. I don't care who gets to be a president at this point. It really doesn't matter. Whether the votes count or not really doesn't matter. What really matters is that we're gone as a nation. Absolutely gone. You guys know that with the foreign troops coming in, training in this country. You know, it wasn't that long ago that would, you know, that would have been an outrage. You know, people, you know, like these college students, they don't know who the vice president is. You know, they don't really have any information. They're not taught that.
I wish I didn't know who the vice president was.
Yeah.
He's Biden off more than he could chew. But, you know, you make some really
anyway,
good
thanks. I just wanted to tell you that my, you know, that's my point, is that, you know, we can't do this on our own anymore. But as individuals, we can, through prayer, and doing the things that we should be doing. But I wanted to thank you guys for such great information, and keep doing what you're doing. It seems to be working out.
Great advice on the prayer.
That's
absolutely fantastic.
And Ron, thank you so much for the call, and God bless you. You have a great evening.
You know,
hey,
Dave Hodges signed up really.
Little krill up in Erie, would you?
Who? I'm sorry, who?
Oh, I'm sorry. A good krill? Friend of mine, Phil Krill, out of Erie, PA.
Not sure. Is he an attorney?
No, he's a krill. Priest, Catholic priest.
No,
I'm
sorry.
I went to school with him, that's why I asked. But anyway, he'd have a great day.
All right, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Ron.
And folks, Dave Hodges signed up for just an hour tonight, but he was gracious enough to give us 2 hours of his time. His articles are extensive, informational, and you need to read them. Go to thecommonsenseshow.com. That's thecommonsenseshow.com, as well as his radio show right here on Global Star Radio Network. I got to tell you, every Sunday, that's where you'll find me listening to the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
And if you want, mark your calendars. I'll be on Dave's show March 6th.
March 6th,
yeah,
all
looking
right.
Looking forward to it. The younger generation is taking over, and it's about time.
There you go. And it's kind of a scary thought, Dave, when you think about it. You know, you guys like you and I, our age, well, of course, I got some years on you.
Yeah, Doug and I, we're measuring our mortality, why people like Joe are stepping forward, and we need people like Joe.
Yeah, right. I mean, cut me in half, count the rings, and there you go. Anyway, all right, brother. Well, listen, it was great having you on. And
I love you guys. Yeah. I'm so glad you had me on. 2 hours went so fast. Thanks to your audience, too, for being so informative and so challenging.
No, it's just great. It's just, yeah, we thank you for you being you and for all the work you do.
God bless you, Dave.
My friend.
Thanks, guys.
All right. That was Dave Hodges taking time out of his busy schedule. And, you know, we got to thank the wives, like Dave Hodges' wife. My goodness, you know, the sacrifices they make for their God. So thank you, Mrs. Hodges, and the kids and all that. So
let's get some announcements for the rest of the week out of the way.
All right.
Have Anthony Patch tomorrow.
Oh, that's going
to
be a good one.
Go to our YouTube channel. There have been two videos put out by JD and Anthony Patch, two separate videos. One detailing with CERN, one detailing with the Super Bowl halftime show. The one Anthony Patch did is with JD about CERN is fantastic, and it's going to be what we're going to be talking about tomorrow. This extra-dimensional telescope that can see beings that aren't picked up by regular telescopes, and its connection to CERN and what CERN is doing. And then on Thursday... Thank you, Eric. Dr. Michael Lake, author of The Shinar Directive, and he's got a new book coming out. And then into next week, we have Jerry Robinson Wednesday, Stan on Tuesday, Pastor Paul Begley Thursday. We'll be on Pastor Paul Begley's show on Friday and Monday.
I'll just leave it at that, because you go too far in and people just forget. So we'll be publishing our schedules in advance.
I was drawing a blank. I had this schedule down in my mind since yesterday, and I can't think right now.
Yeah, you know,
but it's going to be an information-packed, guest-filled next 2 weeks, and we appreciate each and every guest and each and every listener who tunes in.
Yeah, so much. Look, folks, you're going to have to really watch the headlines. Watch very carefully, I believe, for signs. And do your own research. Do your own analysis of the events. But pay very close attention to the banking indicators. Watch, like Dave Hodges writes here, you know, what are you prepping for? What are they prepping for? A possible bank holiday. Make your own inquiries locally. Talk to your local banker. Find out what's going on there if you can. Watch the European. Watch what's going on in European with the bank stocks there. Know that we've got $230 trillion in unfunded mandated liabilities,
unsecured derivatives. Yep. And Monday next week, rest is done.
Oh yeah, that's good,
folks. Right. Thank you, JD. Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Rhonda. Thank you to all our listening audience out there. Thank you, Todd, from Global Star Radio Network.
We have left the building.
Till tomorrow.
All right. Good night.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.